Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Now, the theme for this 64th church anniversary is the blood never loses its power. Amen. And my subtitle will be Once and For All. Once and For All. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to start with the reading, verse 11. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, and I'm taking to 28 real quick. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wood and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And most of all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy places every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin until salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood that you have shed it for us. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, what we thought, said, and did that was not pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to renew our minds and our hearts so that we will continually serve you. As we have this hour of your daily bread, We ask that it be reviving, that it be encouraging, that it be uplifting. As we magnify and glorify your name, we are nothing without you, and we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. But we pray this prayer in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Once and for all, the sacrifice. Once and for all. So, as we start with verse 11, and it's talking about Christ being the high priest, how he came. He did not enter the earthly tabernacle as Moses had entered. He came a different route. He came through the heaven, the heavenly sanctuary of God's presence. That's how Christ entered into his role. So as verse 12 talks about the shedding of the goats and the calves, that's what Moses had to do. He had to shed. When they sacrificed, they used the firstborn, which was the goats and the lambs. They were unblemished. They were untouched. They were pure. Because the bloodshed of the sacrifice is sacred in the Old Testament. That is what the law come into play. Because before Moses going up on Mount Sinai, there was no law. We was just walking around willy-nilly, doing whatever it is that we wanted to do. So, but God had a plan for us when he created us. And that was to love us, and that was for us to do his will. So we had to have some law. That's my favorite show. Law and Order. Love me some Law and Order. And as that show resonates, you have to understand that you have to have law and you have to have order. So God told Moses, look, come on up here. I know my people been suffering. I know they are in bondage. I know they are captive. But I got a plan for you. I got a plan for them. So come on up here. Let me give you some instruction. Okay? And when he went up to God, and you know the story, Exodus. You know, I'm not a magnificent teacher, preacher, or speaker. I can't get these people out of bondage. God said, don't worry about it. I got you. Moses said, well, who I'm going to say sent me? God said, I am. That's such an awesome name. I am. And Elohim, the creator. But I am Yahweh. That's who he said that sent him. And he went and he got the people and he came back. Now, as he brought them back, you know they was frolicking, right? Y'all remember the story, not only in the book, but of course the Ten Commandments, right? And although, you know, Hollywood seems to over, you know, dramatize some things, pull the essence out of it. And the essence of it is that you need some law and you need some order. And without God, there is none. Amen. You can't just go about doing what you want to do. So God gave Moses the first 10 commandments. You do know that there's more than 10. there's a whole lot more in 10. You know, the first 10, he thought it would be cool, but then he found out that he needed to give them some more because they were surpassing. They found a way. That's how crafty. Let me tell you how crafty the old man is. The old man is so crafty, he would figure out a way how to get around certain things. I remember when I was young, when I was a child, and I was trying to figure out a way how I can sneak out the house and go to a party, even though I was told that not to go. Now, just like God told the Israelites not to do something, they was figuring out a way how to get around it. That's how you have more than 10 commandments. Amen? Amen. So the bloodshed in sacrifices are sacred. It epitomizes the life of sacrificial victim. So since the blood is sacred, since life is sacred, the blood, which is also used to be sacrificed, is to be treated with respect. Amen?
Amen.
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 So, by his own blood, and I'm at verse 12, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Christ only had to sacrifice himself one time. He shed the blood one time. Unlike the Levitical priests in the Old Testament, they had to do it. It started out yearly, but I think every time they turned around, they were sacrificing something for somebody all the time. I mean, every time you turn around, they were sacrificing. Why? Because you cannot go before God any way you want to. So, Christ made sure that we don't have to do like the Levitical priests. Don't have to do like the Israelites. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Yes. Right. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, when he sacrificed, his sacrifice was completely effective.
Right.
It was done one time and one time only. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, we're redeemed into the heavenly sanctuary because of Christ's bloodshed. Now, let's go to, no, we're not going to go there. I want you to write this down because y'all know me. I know y'all got that. Y'all know. I got some scriptures for y'all. Y'all know y'all got to write stuff down. But I'm going to give you a minute because I'm a turn there while y'all getting your pens and papers out. Now, while y'all getting that pen and paper out, I'm turning to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Okay? It says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So even Christ knew that there has to be law and order.
Amen.
And he's telling them, I didn't come to destroy the law because you guys still need law. However, I am the shedding. Now, he is the sacrifice. Now, I want you to write this scripture down because it takes us there. Psalms 78. I want you to go and read that book entirety. Read that chapter in its entirety. And the reason why is because Asaph, which was one of the prophets, he was a seer. And as they lined up, as the prophets lined up, you know the prophets, God spoke to the prophets who were supposed to speak to the people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So not only did they prophesy, but they also told them what was to come. So Psalm 78, here's God through Asaph telling them what, well, actually you look at it like a story. It is a story of the Old Testament because it tells them everything that they had done, everything that they had continually to do, and what was going to eventually have to come about. Now, when God set up the law through Moses, there were certain things that had to be done. Our God is very meticulous. This is how meticulous he is. He's so meticulous, he made each and every one of us individually and uniquely made in his image. That's how meticulous he is. Now, even though Pastor Arnice and Evangelist Denise are twins, coming out a minute or two separate, she is meticulously individually made, and so is her sister. They're twins, and sometimes you can't remember. You got to take a double take to make sure you're looking at one or the other. Yesterday, I looked and she pulled up and I was like, Denise, okay, Denise, right, not Arnie's, Denise. But that means that's how meticulous God is with each and every one of us. He takes the time to be meticulous about us, just like he took the time for Moses. That's why he was up there so long. That's why they was acting a muck down there on the ground. Because God was meticulous. And he took his time to tell Moses each and every aspect of how they're going to have to atone for those sins that they're doing down there. He took his time. And he told them that. Amen? Amen. Now, and that's where it gets to, and also in Psalm 78, when God is bringing remembrance back using Asaph, he decided that he was not going to use the tribe because, you know, when Joshua was getting ready to go over, they was getting ready to impose the promised land. He had separated them in tribes, and the original 12 tribes, and the tribe of Ephraim, one of the tribes, they were, I'm telling you, you guys, this is something. This is some serious stuff here. You do not realize as much as they had to go through to atone for their sins. I mean, not what they did, but what they thought too. That's a sin. Anything that you think, say, and do that's not pleasing to God, that's a sin. So somebody may not see it, but God knows you thinking it. That's a sin. And they went through so much. This is how God came up the fact that he is going to come out of the line of Judah. The tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah. Because they did not want to be involved in all of that other soothsaying stuff. But I'm going to give you that because you have to go and read that. And if you read Psalm 78, it's going to take you back to some places in Leviticus and Exodus. You need to go there. Okay? So we're going to move along. So, now, on the going to verse 13. So, on the Day of Atonement, those animals were sacrificed, which was the bulls and the goats. Those were used for the Day of Atonement, the sacrifice. Amen. And when you came across someone, when you touched someone that was not unclean, boy, did they have a rigorous thing they had to go through. Write that scripture down. Numbers chapter 19. Read that entire chapter, because it definitely tells you what you had to go through just to be clean again, just before you go before God. Amen. It's crazy. It's a whole lot. And I mean, even if now, and it's amazing, and check this out. You know, in the New Testament, when Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, when you went through, when you touched the dead body, I don't care if it was your mother, your brother, or your spouse, you are considered unclean. And you had to go through a process for 7 days. And then anybody who cleaned you had to go through the process for 7 more days. It was a whole lot. A whole lot. To God be the glory. And guess what? Out of all that that they went to, the Day of Atonement, and all of the different sacrifices that they have, and even the ceremony cleansing for the unclean, all of that that they had to go through, guess what? It still only cleansed them outwardly. It was still the outward appearance. It was the outward cleansing. You know why? Because out of everything that they went through, guess what? You could not be cleansed from sin. Not one of them in the Old Testament could be cleansed from sin. It was the act of sin that you were being cleansed from. The outward appearance. But it wasn't the inward appearance. You guys understand what I'm saying? Say amen then. Amen. Amen. Right. So if you're going through, so in verse 13, you got to go through all of that just to be cleansed, and it's still on the outward. Verse 14 says, just think what Christ done, what Christ had to do. Amen? Yeah. Right. So when the Holy Ghost ascended upon Christ's shoulders in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, after he was baptized, when the Holy Ghost ascended on his shoulder, he empowered him with the Spirit for him to complete his mission. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now, Christ offered himself. They didn't take him. He offered himself. Now, it's like Moses and all of the Levites came and offered the sacrificial sacrificial goats and the sacrificial rams. Christ offered himself. Guess what? He was the sacrifice. The true sacrifice. Right. He was the one laid upon the altar. Amen? Amen. Amen. He was without spot, without blemish, no defect. He was the firstborn. Amen? Amen. So because he has done that, we have been redeemed. Yes. To God be the glory. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And so it purges your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God. The latter part of 14. So you don't have to be consumed with each sacrifice that has to be given to do for every sin that you've committed. Because Christ did it. He's telling you, don't worry. Don't worry about all that other stuff that you have to do. I did. What I need you to concentrate on is serving the true and living God. That's what Christ did. He didn't want you bombarded with everything else that they did in the Old Testament for atonement. He was the atonement for us. Amen? Amen. 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 Now, and then going to verse 15. Because he's the mediator. Mediator guarantees that the covenant promises are fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, he was that mediator for us. Now, he was the mediator for us when he came in the flesh. He is the mediator today because he is sitting in the high place next to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to take you to, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Because Christ was the mediator, this is what he had to do, tying in the Old Testament and how we get to the New Testament, okay, which is the new agreement. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31 says, and I want you guys to write this down, 31 through 34. And I want you to go, and I want you to break it down, and I want you to study it. But this is my reference to Christ being the mediator from the old agreement to the new agreement. Amen? Amen. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them from the land to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, in their mind, and I will write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the new covenant. And you know who's speaking here? Jesus. He's telling them through Jeremiah. The laws that was given to them, they broke them all. And they did not honor me. And I told them over and over again, even every time the Day of Atonement, I told them over again to please keep my statutes and my decrees. That's instruction. That's commandment. But when you are not following that, you're out of order. Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to be your mediator. I will make it so that your sins will be in the sea of forgiveness. I'm not going to keep remembering everything that you do like we do. You know, somebody step on your toes. You remember that 2 years ago. I remember I was walking and she stepped on my toe. She knew my toe was sitting there. We don't forgive like we're supposed to. Holy Ghost work in us. So that we will help me. Right. Help me, Holy Ghost. So that we will remember sins no more. That means that we can't keep remembering what someone does to us. Do we want God to remember what we did? Let's think about that. Do we want him to remember some stuff we did? I don't. I already got enough to account for already. When I get there. Holy. So I don't want him to remember those things. So guess what? I'm not going to remember what you did to me, Tamia. my feelings was hurt. But I'm not going to remember that. Because that is not my responsibility. Do you know how much time and how much energy it takes up to be mad at somebody? Do you know how much time and energy that it takes to remember what somebody did to you? You will sit there before you know it, you will be collecting Social Security. Because you sitting up here taking all that time to remember something that had nothing to do with nothing. Because that's most of it, what it is. We have to use our energy like it's our last day. That's the kind of energy we are to use. That's why it says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Why? Because he woke us up today. Everything else is extra. You know what? We got a chance to start it all over again. How much grace is that? I got another chance to try it again. Pastor, I am so sorry I hurt your feelings yesterday. Lord, thank you for another day that I could try it again. New mercies I see. He's showing me the way. And we have to be grateful. Stop using your energy on that negativity. We have to stop it. If we don't get the car we want, we got to stop it. We're not in the house we should be in. We have to stop it. The job that we think we want. We got to cut it out. Let's be content with what he has given us. It says, give us this day our daily bread. That's what he says. And your daily bread is the word. That's daily. And if you get this daily, guess what? Your life will reflect it every day. It's a reflection. Amen? When people say, something's different about you. Did you lose weight? Yes, I did. I lost weight. I shedded those pounds of hatred. I got off that extra fat of unforgiveness. I'm walking light in the newness of the Lord. Yes, I have lost weight. Yes. I'm not carrying all that stuff on that's weighing me down. My knees don't even hurt as much as they used to no more. Because I had to forgive my employers. And I'm happy about it too. But please, don't let it consume you. Amen? Amen. So that is what Jesus was telling them back in Jeremiah, Old Testament. Remember, he did not come to break the law. He came to fulfill it. And he told them, even though y'all was acting out of order, I'm still going to save you. I'm still going to lay my life down for you. I'm still going to shed my blood for the remission of your sins and mine. To God be the glory. Amen? Amen. So the inheritance, oh my goodness. Okay, so the inheritance made became real when Christ shed his blood. Amen? The atoning death. And here is the proof of that. Romans, write it down. Write it down. Romans chapter 8. And you know what? It's a good thing because sometimes we say write it down. And you say, well, you know what? I had that written in another lesson. Yeah, but there probably is a different application. So if we writing Romans 8:28 down, you know, once a month, that's a good thing, I think. Because it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, the revealed God. All things are good. We're all good. Amen? Everything. And when it says we're called, that meant he called you from the wombs of your mother. We have all been called. Amen? Amen. And the ransom that he paid. Oh, did I get ahead of myself? I think I did. Yes, I did. We are in verse 15, right? So the ransom that he paid, I'm at the second part of verse 15. So the ransom, and you know what a ransom is? A ransom is payment, right, to be released from bondage. And, you know, that was a good movie with Mel Gibson called Ransom. That was a great movie. But Christ got an even better show. It's the Christ show. So, the ransom, he paid our ransom. Every last one of us. He paid it back then, 2,000 years ago. You know why he paid it back then? He knew that we was going to need it this year. In 2018. He knew we was going to need that. And what he, and the ransom that he paid it to releasing us from bondage of sin and death. Why? The wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23, right? The wages of sin is death. So because of our sin, we deserve death. But Christ paid that ransom. Amen? Amen. And because he paid that ransom, we don't have to worry about it anymore. He is the good shepherd. Amen? Amen. And write this scripture down. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. He knew what he had to do. And because he is the servant. There's a capital T on the. Meaning he didn't come down to be served like everybody thought that he should be because he was the Messiah and they wanted to come and lavish things because he was doing signs and miracles. No. Once again, going back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said he didn't come to break the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So he had to come and serve. He had to be that servant. The people. Us. You and I. That was his service. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, because he had to walk that mile, he had to suffer. He had to be beaten. He had to die. That was his sacrifice. That's what he did for us. The blood will never lose its power. Never. And he did it for our redemption. Amen? Amen. Now, verses 16 and 17 talks about the will and your last will and testament in the natural. So, you know, anybody who has, I'm not going to say a lot of money, but whoever in their right mind, that's what they ask them. Did you leave a will? Do you have a will? Do you have a living will? Most people, if you have a will, it's not enforced until after you die. So there's anyone that's on your will, they can't collect anything unless you die. And just a note, if you leave it something spectacular, don't tell nobody. They might want to punch your number a little bit sooner than what you anticipated. So verses 16 and 17 talks about the will and us in the natural. Amen. But Christ's death, which is his last will and his testament, was attested. See, in verse 16 and 17, when you died, they got to prove it. They got to prove that you had a will. They got to prove that you dead. Because you can't collect on the will unless you show a certificate of death. Amen? Amen. So, just think about this. Christ's death, when he died upon the cross, that was his certificate. And all that he left for us is the will and testament. So we don't have to worry about who our old nature is in us. His atonement has already been paid for us. Amen? So when that old nature tries to rise up on us, it's funny because Pastor and I be sitting up there going, like, what's wrong with you, that old nature? Keep that old nature under subjection by telling him or telling her that you have no authority over me. It's not the devil. The devils don't have any power. Why? Because when Christ died, he went down to Hades and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Brought it back up, came up, showed his disciples who walked with him for 3.5 years and said, see, I told you, look at the hole in my hand, look at the piercing in my side. I told you I would rise again, and now he's ascending unto heaven. So, that old nature that we were all born with, thanks to the fall of man, Adam, keep him and her under subjection and let them know that they have no power over your mind and over your heart. Continue to do good. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's who Christ is, the good shepherd.
Yes.
Are we not in his likeness?
Yes.
Were we not made to be like him? Then when that's what we have to do. We have to be good. We have to show good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then verses 18 and 20 talks about how they had to go through the ritual of the covenant. I want you to write this scripture down. And this shows exactly how meticulous our God is. Exodus 24, verses 4 through 8. Now, this is, and Moses had to be specifically meticulous as our God was, because he said, do it just like this. If he said, go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you had to go that same way. Because if you went anything out of, you're out of order and nothing would be accepted. That's what they had to, you guys, do you realize what the Old Testament, what the Israelites had to go through just to get God to forgive them? That was a lot. I would be gone. Forefathers, foremothers, ancestors, everybody be gone in my household. But we just can't get it together. That right, Markeisha? We trying, aren't we? We trying. Ooh, Lord knows we trying. We trying. So, 18 verses 18 through 20 talks about the first covenant and how you had to go through the rigorous covenant to be accepted for your sins. And then verse 21 talks about how there had to be consecration, Write these scriptures down. Leviticus chapter 8, verses 10, 19, and 30. And this is, now God has given Moses instructions on how to consecrate the altar, the sanctuary, and Aaron, who was the high priest at that time, Aaron and his sons. They had to go through a whole consecration service in order to be able to go and atone for the Israelite sin. We don't know how good we got it, and we got to start acting like we got some kind of clue. Because the stuff that they had to go through, whoo. Do you know, let me sidetrack right here. Do you know when the high priest went in to the most holy of holies, they tied a rope around him? They tied a rope around him because if he was not spiritually and ceremonially sanctified, he went in the most holy of holies. If he did not have his mind and his heart set on making atonement for the people, God smoked him right then and there. And they tied a rope around them because sometimes they had to get pulled out of there. Dead. Aren't you glad that Jesus don't have to do that? He's sitting there. He's sitting up there. Amen. He's sitting up there. And he said, you know what? Tina said the wrong thing yesterday, but I'm sure she didn't mean that. See, what she meant was, that's how Jesus is mediating and interceding for us today. When we did something, when we flipped that person off that cut in front of us because we was on our way to church. Jesus is sitting up there saying, she did not remember that. She didn't mean that. She was just anxious about getting to worship. Do you see what I'm saying here? That's how Jesus is interceding for us right now today. That's how he's mediating for us today. The high priest, he is the high priest. The high priest, the Levitical high priest, they don't have nothing on Jesus. Amen. They was full of sins themselves. This is what we're saying here. This is what's being said here in Hebrews chapter 9. That everything that they tried to do for man, the high priest, Jesus himself had to come down and really do it for us. What they was doing is nothing. Why? Because they were man-made. Everything in the Old Testament was man-made. Everything that comes from God is heavenly made. And it's heavenly based. And it comes from, that's the real deal, Holyfield right there. You cannot argue that. And that's what he's doing for us today. There is not, the blood will never, ever, ever lose its power. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Write this scripture down. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. And that speaks about how they were going through the ritual that they were going through for the atonement of sins. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, in verse 23, and we're in Hebrews chapter 9. So verse 23, our earthly sanctuary is a type shadow of the heavenly sanctuary. That's why God is so meticulous in how Moses prepared everything. Write this scripture down. Exodus 25, verse 40. Both the tabernacle and its ministry were symbolizations of the only way sinners could be able to approach God and receive forgiveness. But Christ's sacrifice was the best because it came from heaven itself. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, say it with me, believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Every child, every single child needs to know John 3:16. And when I say every child of God, yes, Mario gonna learn it too. Every child of God, every being need to know how much you are loved. You're so loved. Even when man don't tell you, guess what? He don't have to. Because he shows you every single day. You are special. Always. 24, we already know that Christ is the high priest because of what he done for us. Amen? All right, write this scripture down. 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2. And as I just stated, how he intercedes for us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Verse 26, Christ's superiority. Guess what era we are in? The dispensation of grace. But we are in the Messianic era. That means everything that they talked about in the Old Testament that's going to come forth in the New Testament, we're in that. We are in this era because Christ is here with us. He's in our minds and he's in our hearts. And guess what? We are being used by him every single day. When you say, hello, how are you? It's good to see you. You are exemplifying what Christ would have you do today. Be the example. Amen? Amen. 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 So, once and for all, Christ has paved the way for us. Verse 28. When Christ returns, he's not coming to bear sins. Why? Because he did it already. That was one time. That was a one-time thing. He don't have to do it no more. But when he comes back, which is his second coming, you do know Christ is coming back. Okay, if you did not know it, you know it now, and you better take it to the bank, and you can deposit it, you can cash it. He is coming back. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back for those that are seeking him, that's looking for him, because he's going to give them salvation. Amen? Conclusion. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5. I think I'll read that. No, I don't think I'll read that. Write it down, though. His blessings are right now. They're right now possessions. Yeah. Already enjoyed by us, his believers. Right. Okay? And to reference that, write this scripture down. Revelations chapter 5, 9 and 10. Write that down. And then my last scripture for today. After everything I told, after everything that I shared with you, thank you, Holy Ghost, everything that I shared with you, Revelations 1 and 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Right now, Blessed. That means it's more than happiness. You know, like Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man. Blessed is this. Blessed is that. Understand something. Blessed. That means you're more than happy. Everybody say, how you doing? I'm blessed. Are you really? Are you really happy? Are you really happy who you are? Are you really happy in who you're serving? Are you really happy in your living? If not, I dare you to take you out the picture and put Christ there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, happiness is more than happy. I mean, blessed is more than happy. It's favorable circumstances given by God to a person proclaiming the prophecy, proclaiming the word of God through commandment, instruction, knowing the history, predicting it, whatever the word of God is, use it. Study it. Meditate on it. And then live it.
Yeah.
If you're living it, you're applying it. The word of God is just like the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. It would never lose its power.
Never.
That's why I'm so strong. Because
yeah.
I'm strong and through the blood. I'm nothing. I'm but a mere vessel. And that's why we all have to think. We can't be haughty. We can't be bigger than what we should be. We stay humble. We stay meek. And through Christ, where our grace is sufficient, that's where we can be strong. When we think we're weak. We can be happy. When most of our days and everything around us is trying to make us sad.
Yeah.
Only through the blood. Only through the blood. The blood will not lose its power. So you are empowered. You are empowered.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
are empowered through the blood of Christ. And don't you let nobody tell you anything different. And don't you let nobody steal your joy. And do you let anyone rain on your parade? You know why? That rain we had last night, you know what that was? Liquid sunshine.
Lord.
Liquid sunshine. You know why? Because if we never got any rain, if we never got any rain, how do you expect anything to grow?
My God.
We rain it. Let the word of God rain in your life. So that you can grow. Amen.
Yeah.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Everyone on your feet. Sorry. Get your pencils and paper out. A couple more things I wanted you to write down. All this relates up under once and for all the blood of Christ. I want you to write down Galatians chapter 3, 13 through 14. I want you to write down Matthew chapter 20 and 28. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Now, as I spoke about Asaph, the prophet or the seer, and remember, you got to read for Psalm 78, but also 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and 30 speaks about Asaph, being a seer, he's being used as one of the prophets. Amen? And then I want you to conclude with Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. Now, as they talked about, and this ties in with Psalm 78, because Jesus is talking about the tribe that they were going, that he was going to come through, was the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Ephraim, and the tribe of Benjamin. Paul here, he's saying that, guess what? I'm from that tribe, and I'm still nothing without the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm still nothing. And I was that scholar. I was that deal, or so I thought. But when Paul found out that he was not that deal on the road of Damascus, guess what? He knew that the only way that he could be fighting the good fight of faith and be the man that God would call him to be was to be in the relationship with him. Is there anyone today who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Please come forward. Father, we thank you because everyone has accepted you. Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Take your neighbor by your hand. Pastor, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we know that the blood will never lose its power. And that same blood that Jesus spilled, Lord God, he spilled it for us. Yes. And the amazing thing about it, Lord, is that that blood that he spilled, we now have within us. Yes. So, Father, we know that the healing and the deliverance and the salvation that is in the blood, we now have to possess. But, Father, use us in a supernatural way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, let us walk in love towards all men. Let us pray for those that would despitefully use us. Let us encourage those that wouldn't encourage us. Let's lift those up that won't lift us up. Father, that's the way of the blood, Lord God, is sacrifice. We have become sacrificial lambs, but Father, we don't have to die that way. We can live, Lord God, to the understanding and knowing that all through you, all things are possible. And Father, you said in your word, we can only please you, Lord God, through faith. And in that faith is the blood, Lord God, that Jesus shed at Calvary. So, Father, we thank you for moving upon your people today. Lord God, let some word minister to them, Lord God, this week. Let something that has been said encourage and strengthen and fortify them in the very depth of their soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for having your way in this service. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for 64 years. We thank you for the man of God that started this ministry some 64 years ago. His blood will never lose its power. Father, we thank you today. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, one of our sacred moments is offering time. Yay! Amen. We can't get happy about something. Something. We don't want to be happy about it because we ain't got no money in our pocket, but we got to get happy about it so the Lord can put some money in our pocket. We